Charlie and a few other friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better when you're two beers in.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Beers In, a tipsy political roundtable.
I'm your co-host, Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd. We got a great show for you today. Matt Kleinman is with us, the head writer of The Onion video. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, I'm great.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
We have Chris Kelly, writer for Saturday Night Live and for the new film Other People, coming out September 9th.
Oh, thank you.
Super excited.
Two awesome guests. And Chris used to do stuff at The Onion, too.
Yeah. So we worked together for years.
Hey, Chris is hired.
That's how we know. Oh, that's true.
Holy shit. Wow. I can't wait to get into that once we've had some alcohol.
I have only very nice things to say about Chris. This podcast, we mostly
I forgot about that.
We're going to ask you what your special skills are and what your strengths and weaknesses are.
So we're recording tonight from our Hell's Kitchen apartment. We're going to chug a couple of beers here, and we're going to chat about politics. We have our next live show coming up at the end of the month. It is Monday, August
22nd.
I want to say 22nd. And Chris Kelly, you'll be back
for
that show. This is sort of a surprise that you were available tonight, too. So we booked you for two shows in a row, so don't be
Cody
bad
and I
tonight.
Were drinking.
Guys, I'm so sorry. We've been trying to hide it, but Chris and I are already drunk. We're already in margaritas, and I was like, come over.
So here we go.
So we're going to pause.
Hopefully
gonna
Chris is going to be good, because we're having him back.
We're
sure.
still going to drink more is the point.
Also, I want to plug on the show that we have Chris booked for. We have Jody Avergan from the 538 podcast.
Did you guys listen? It's the best.
So we're super excited to have Jody. So come see that show at the UCB Theater East, 8 o'clock on August 22nd. I'm going to pause the recording right now, and we're going to chug two beers, and we'll be back in a second. Okay, we're back.
We're back.
Some of us have chugged two beers. Some of us had a couple of margaritas earlier.
Drank two margaritas and then chugged one beer.
But I'm still okay.
We're three drinks in.
Our child is having a hard time going to sleep in the other room. We've done this at home a lot. This is the first time we've had an issue with this, so you might hear a little bit of crying.
But I said we're moving forward because this election is for him, and so he might not get that because he's two. But like, we need to continue and fight the power.
Yes.
You know.
We're really excited to have both you guys here. Matt, I wanted to ask you about the RNC. You went to the RNC?
I did.
Did you go to the DNC too?
I did not. I had a family vacation planned during that week.
Lame. Democracy's on hold. Wait, you had a family vacation in Alaska?
In Alaska, yeah.
That's amazing, by the way. I applaud your family for being so interesting.
So tell me about the RNC. You're the first person I talked to who went this year. So you were inside?
Yeah. We had press passes.
And this is with The Onion.
This is with The Onion. And The Onion, since it was just bought, like a good share of it was just bought by Univision, they gave us three press passes to go to the thing. And then
Had press passes to go to the RNC?
Did your press passes say Univision or The Onion?
They said The Onion on it.
So did people know what that was?
I had a good amount of people come up.
Did it complicate what you were doing? Did people know?
Really, because we weren't doing that much stuff. Like, we weren't like interviewing people there on the floor. We were just getting some pickup shots there for some videos that we needed to do. And then a lot of the stuff we were doing was just like on computers and stuff.
You weren't doing that gotcha comedy journalism.
We weren't doing any gotcha comedy. No pranks of ours were foiled. But like, people would come, like people, fans, or like, I had some guy from Breitbart come up to me when I was like on the floor.
The dream.
It's unbelievable. I didn't know he was from Breitbart. Then he told me and I hugged him. I couldn't believe it.
And now you two are getting married next August.
I don't know if I want to say his name. Depends on how deep we go in this conversation about him. But he came up to me and he just did the like, so you're from The Onion. And he came up unsolicited. He just came, you're from The Onion, right? So what do you think is funny about all this? And then I was like, all right, you know, I'm happy to engage. And it's like, the RNC, it puts you in this real, you know, headspace of like, I do want to like show these people that love is like important and like, you know, all the things that Hillary was saying the next week about like working together, like all those things I really strongly believe. And I want to believe that like, if these people just like got on board anyway. So he was like, what do you think is funny about this? I told him what I thought was funny about all of this, which was like, to me, just like everybody one by one getting on board with Trump, like seeing all these people just show that they really do not have any convictions. They don't have any principles. They are just people who do, like the you know, Ted Cruz, Kasich. Like, there are some Republicans that are worth noting, like that they stood up to this.
Absolutely.
But that's what I told him. He was funny. And then he was like, no, I'll tell you what's funny. then he told me what he thought was funny.
What was it?
I was like not even worth like remembering. It was like that all these people like the, it's truly they're very ideological. I don't even remember. It didn't like who cares?
Like, he's like their suits. That's what's funny. Am yeah, I right?
He like had some weird. He was like a libertarian kind of like Breitbart-y guy. He was like Irish and he didn't even vote. I asked him if he voted.
He didn't even vote.
He doesn't even vote because. But this is what he did that I couldn't. Then I wrote the guy off. Was he was talking to me about here? You should read these articles by this guy. Mm-hmm. Read these articles. Look up this. He gave me like a keyword and articles by this guy. And I was like, okay, sure. I guess that's what you believe. And then at the end of the conversation, he gave me his card, and his name was the guy that he told me to read the articles by. I'm like, don't.
So it's
do,
like if I was like, listen to this podcast. Yeah. It's by Cody Lindquist, and then I handed you my card. Yeah,
Cody Lindquist. She says all these like great things.
Did you have any sort of at the RNC? Because you know, we all, I'll include myself in this. We all there's such like a left versus right thing of like everyone that's a Republican that's voting for Trump is so stupid, and like vice versa. Did you go and like? Learn anything like, oh, a lot of these people are like misled and like it's unfortunate that they're voting for this idiot, but like they're decent people, or were you like, holy shit?
It's so I will say, well, no, Kai, what was weird was that the RNC itself, like the actual convention, it was just crazy people like on the outside and then just like Republican, like all the way people.
Yeah.
Like,
the party people.
You guys see like the shirts that like the Texas people wear?
Yeah.
The whole Texas delegation wears just douchebag shirts that are just these big, like pure. Your white, red, like blue, and like a big star. Like they look like some frat bro was like, "This will be funny." Picked it up at a thrift shop, but they all wear it. It's like their uniform. Like they're just all gone. Like I think for the
most
part.
I guess it's true of both sides. Like if you're going to physically go to a convention,
you wear the funny hat.
You're crazy. You're the most ideologically.
But there weren't just any like fans there. Like you watch the DNC. The DNC. I wish I had been there too because the RNC it looked bigger on TV. Being there,
oh, it's really small. That's what I heard.
Tiny arena and like a lot of the seats were
really. I mean, that's insane that you say that because it looked really busted and empty on TV. So the fact that it looked big on TV.
Yes. So it looked like nobody, but then the DNC was just a massive stadium of people going fucking nuts.
Yeah.
All those like fans in the stands up there, that's just something the Republicans not only didn't have, but didn't care to make sure that they were there.
Yeah, why wouldn't you fill those seats?
It's crazy.
Are there not enough people in Cleveland that want those seats?
Largely empty.
They also, it was very law and order. Like there were mostly just more police there than
So that was absolutely
right?
the case. It was much more of a cop convention than anything. There were cops from all over the country. I was hanging out with like CHP officers and guys from like, you know, Boston. It was nice. All the cops were very nice.
Yeah. So the thing that fascinates me about that is that maybe they can't just invite everybody to fill those seats because of protesters, right? Because as lockdown as it was, Code Pink still seemed to be there like
you can't
every
just
day.
Let random people in to fill seats.
Yeah. And in the Democrats, I mean, I loved recently we were watching Donna Brazile was being interviewed on The Circus on Showtime. We watch literally every news show ever. But they asked her about she's the interim DNC chair, and they asked her about the protesters that were there. And she said, they're not protesters. She's like, they're passionate. They're passionate supporters of Bernie. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's the Democratic way of thinking, right?
And she followed that up by saying, we make a joyful noise.
Yeah, she said, make a joyful noise. And I was like, yeah, Democrats are like, yeah, we're all passionate. You know, we're not trying to... I mean, I'm sure that there are Bernie people that will listen to this, although they've probably stopped listening to us long ago, but they're going to be like, oh, I don't know. You're going to squash their voice. But I do feel like we want more voices.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Bernie briefly. Did you vote for Bernie or Hillary? Do you want to say?
Oh, yeah, I voted for Bernie.
You voted for Bernie. Chris, you voted
for Bernie.
Bernie too, we both voted for Hillary.
God.
You, were you guys, either one of you, for a second, were never a Bernie or bust?
No. I said this. For a long time, I was very like, I really like Hillary. I really like Bernie. I listened all the way through. I gave it a lot of thought and was like, you know what? If I'm really going side by side, I just technically agree with like some of the, I'm like invigorated by some of the new things that Bernie's saying. So I feel like I guess I should just shut everything out and vote for that. Cause like just on a belief system, I like a lot of the things he's voted. And I was like, also knew he was going to lose. And I was like, I'll get to vote for Hillary in a couple months. So it'll be nice to say I voted for both.
So I felt like every vote for Bernie was like an argument to Hillary to listen to Bernie.
And also I will say,
do you think she did?
I think she's been doing,
I mean, as much as she can as part of like the machine of the Democratic Party. And I also, I will say the second he lost, I was like, cool, he lost, now it's time to vote for Hillary. And right. So anybody that's still being like, Bernie or bust, I'm like, ah, oh, come on, you fucking idiot.
Chris, so you've met both of them. Can you give us
yes, I can.
No, but can you give us sort of anecdotal impressions on both Bernie and Hillary?
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't have a funny.
So you wrote the Curb Your Enthusiasm sketch that Bernie starred in, right?
Well, Larry was in it. Bernie wasn't in that.
His episode, or
yeah.
He had a cameo.
He wasn't in that. He had a cameo that episode.
Right.
So I write all the Hillary Clinton stuff with Kate McKinnon and Sarah Schneider, like all that stuff, and then I write all the Bernie Sanders, Larry David stuff.
Yeah.
And so obviously when they come to the show, then we write the real version too. And they were both great. I didn't really work with Bernie Sanders because I wrote the Curb Your Enthusiasm sketch and he wasn't in it. He was in a different random sketch that episode.
Did you see the meme, by the way, of him dropping the papers at the DNC?
Oh no, but did it have the Curb Your Enthusiasm music?
Yes.
That's great.
It was really funny. Anyway, continue.
No, they were both great. I mean, Hillary was great. I was very starstruck to meet her because she did this sketch with Kate McKinnon where Hillary played a bartender. And so to be able to like write that sketch knowing all the while that she was going to come do it was so crazy. And I will say, to her credit, we wrote the sketch without like her team hovering over us. Like she wasn't like, we'll do it, but you can't mention this. Like she was like, we're going to do it. Like, let us know. And so we wrote a sketch. And then
liberals are funny and they get writers are funny.
To her credit, I mean, truly, like we didn't, I would tell you if she did, or I wouldn't answer this question at least. Like we wrote a sketch and they liked it and they had no notes and she was like, sure. And she was game for anything. And
that's great.
Some of the jokes like really kind of made some points and kind of like had some fun at her expense and she was down with it and it was cool.
All right. So while we're already talking about presidential candidates who appear in Saturday Night Live, do you think that Donald Trump will be hosting the show this fall like he did last fall?
How could he have time?
He's too busy eating KFC in his plane, Charlie.
That would be so funny if, like, 3 weeks before the before the election, he was like hosting, and he was like, "I'll make time."
No, but there is a tradition of candidates cameoing.
I don't know. I have no information about that. Except to say, there is like a history of them all wanting to come
and do something.
I would assume it'd be no different that they would want to come or something, but I have no inside scoop.
Also, but to be fair, I feel like he would make a week to do it because it's closer to his house than Wisconsin or Ohio. You'd be like, I don't know, I could just literally crawl out of my Trump Tower and be
I want Obama to like be out of office and then the next week host SNL.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, there's no question. He's going
to
host it.
I mean, I feel like he's very close to just having his own talk show if he wants it, right? Wouldn't we all drop what we're doing and
ready for his show? Yes. I just want to watch it. That's all I want. So Donald Trump had an insane week with a lot of gaffes. So he was insulting the family of a fallen soldier.
But by the way, that's not a gaffe. Let's not use the term gaffe attacking Gold Star moms.
Yeah.
It's not a gaffe.
Okay, so
it's just a piece of shit.
Saying he hopes his daughter would find a new job or career if she was sexually harassed. Asking an advisor why we weren't allowed to use nukes. These are just three of the main points. So my question is, if you were trying to not be the president and you were trying to lose, would you do anything differently? Like, do you feel like he's literally trying to lose?
Or a broader question, and this is a theory that I've espoused a lot in this podcast, like, do you think he wants to be president of the United States? Because I've never thought that.
He's answered that he, like, every time he's asked that question, he kind of dodges it. Like, if you have, like, the actual, like, do you want to be president question.
I think he does want to be president, but I think it's in the way that, like, you know those things, you know that, like, story that, like, that was leaked that, like, people were secretly asking, like, Kasich, do you want to be the most powerful vice president
in charge of both domestic and foreign?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like, so I think he wants to be president in the way where he, like, wants to be the king of the world and, like, live in a white castle. Yes.
Like, in the way he'd want to win actively, a Purple Heart.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think he actively wants to like rule, but like I think the ultimate win is to be like, I'm the
president. He wants to be a king.
Yeah, exactly.
He wants like Queen Elizabeth's title where she doesn't do anything but she waves and she goes and like sits in her room.
So I think he wants that, which is I think is why he like since he doesn't really want to like lead or govern or like create policy or like be thoughtful, that's why he's not like every week that goes by he doesn't like learn more or like, you know.
But I think this is unprecedented in that it seems to me that he is doing everything that a failed candidate would do and that we'd all be like, oh, he's dead in the water. But he's not like losing in the polls.
Here's a question I have off of that. And I saw some people talking about this on Twitter, which is now that Trump has said so many extreme things, so many awful things, have we opened up a Pandora's box where we will never be shocked at a Republican candidate's statement ever again? Meaning, yeah. If Mitt Romney were to run in 2020, or someone like Mitt Romney, and they were to say, oh, 47% of America are takers, like, that's not a story anymore, because we've gone so extreme. Like, we've you know, this is a dumb analogy, but I'm a little drunk, but it's like when you're 12 years old and you, like, are looking at the Victoria's Secret catalog, and then you stumble upon a Hustler magazine, like, you can't really go back. Like,
totally. I don't know that feeling.
You're no longer excited
by Victoria's Secret.
But I just mean, we have been exposed to hardcore,
totally
raw, XXX Republicanism.
I mean, like, a good example.
So are we ever going to be outraged and shocked at a 47%?
Well, that's
comment?
What's crazy is, like, there was a debate, like, what, 5 months ago, where he talked about how his dick was big or alluded to it, and, like, we don't even talk about it anymore. Because
have you guys
are, like,
compared your hands 40? To his hands?
Oh, yes, there's a thing online.
You can do it. You can go online. I can't remember what website put it out.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I did it. I'm a little bigger, not a lot.
Oh yeah,
he's also a lot taller. He's a lot taller than me, though.
But that is insane that, like, we just don't talk about
it. Maybe you are bigger. You're a lot bigger than Donald.
40,000 things that have happened since then. Also, remember for a while when, like, social media started, and, like, Facebook, and everyone was like, oh, everyone, all of us, we upload such crazy, embarrassing photos of us from college. Like, in 2040, none of us will be able to run for president because of our humiliating past. Like, I guess that's, like, not true anymore. Everything's fair game. Like,
yeah, I do think it's, like, what will politics look like after this? I do think that the Republican Party, I mean, it's just going to, like, explode. But there isn't somebody who's like Trump in the wings to my
mind. Yeah, you gotta hope this is, like, an anomaly,
Yeah, like,
well, Antonio Sabato Jr.
Guys, I'm a General Hospital fan and Jagger forever. He was on my soap.
No one knows that character.
Guys, he played Jagger, and he was, like, the hot guy I was a teenager, so...
And he called Obama a Muslim from the stage of the arts.
But he's still really, really attractive to me.
I guess the counterpoint to that is that if Trump loses in a landslide, hopefully that will put Pandora back in the box, and we're like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then the next Republican candidate will be a safe choice, maybe.
I hope.
I don't know if they have another. Like, I don't know how they can progress this way going forward, because everyone that I've thought is the future of the Republican Party, like, to me, who I'm most scared of was, like, Rand Paul. Because, like, I assume everyone my age who is conservative or going to become a conservative is a libertarian. Because that's the only thing that makes sense.
Because you have to be socially liberal if you were under 40.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you have to.
For sure. And then you heard them in the crowds.
Because you know gay people.
Yeah, right. And you heard them in the crowds. Every debate, Rand Paul supporters went nuts constantly. Right. Points that I would also agree with a lot of the time.
Sure.
Like, he said things that made sense. He had, like, and so I would have thought that, like, by now it's time to start being scared of them. He was barely qualifying for the debates every single time. Nobody gave a shit about him.
Yep.
So I just have no idea what the future of the Republican Party is.
What are the people our age? Who are the people our age going to support? Yeah.
Well, but Chris and I were saying this when we were drinking some margaritas before the show. Like, I wish we could enjoy this transition more. I hope that we'll look back and Hillary will have won, and this will be the last stand of the Republican Party in a lot of ways. And it's literally the last thing they can do before they have to reinvent themselves, right?
Here's my
fear. To include
fear.
Young people and minorities. But as I say that, I can't enjoy it because there is still a real possibility that Trump can win.
Yeah, because I still don't believe that she's necessarily going to win in a landslide.
I agree.
Feel like, I think she could win by 4, 6, 8, but, like, these, like, fantasies of, like, she'll win by 12
no
or 15.
Way,
it
no
might be
way.
An electoral landslide.
Maybe electoral landslide, but I just don't think she's going to, like, I think all this, like, last week of polls was, like, wonderful, like, liberal pornography for all of us. But, like, I just don't think it's going to really happen. And also, well, next week when he inches up 1%, the narrative will be like, he's coming back. And, like,
narrative.
It's so.
Yeah. One fear that I have is that there will never be a Republican Party again, but that the Democrats are going to sort of be the Republican Party. Because at this point, with Obamacare being what Romney proposed in Massachusetts, I do think because of Bernie's success and Bernie's work on the platform, I think Hillary has been pushed further to the left than she intended to be. And I'm, as a pretty far left guy, I'm very happy with the Democratic platform. Will Hillary talk about all the things that are in the literal DNC platform about, you know, drug decriminalization, all that? I don't know. But my concern is that the Republican Party is so far to the right that it's a joke and it's becoming extinct. But what we're left with is the Democratic Party is just the Republican Party from 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but
that's true. Yeah, I can see that.
But then, what does that mean? That Bernie Sanders, that party is
the new Democrat.
The new Democrats. Yeah. Well, then that's great. I'd be on board.
I mean, if that were,
but
like
it's
really
not great
happen,
because that party know, will yeah, never actually win.
Never exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Obama was like center left, and Hillary is probably maybe like one or two yards yeah. closer to the 50-yard line than Obama. Maybe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
She's pretty moderate, right? I mean, I think I do.
He
agree.
Is too.
He is too. But I mean, like,
I think they're both like pragmatists. I think like, they yeah. both just want yeah. what they think that they both want this
what
incremental
is
change thing, which like Obama, I think, proved was a good strategy. Like, he wasn't great his first term in general, I think, but his second term he's just been like dominating, and I think a lot of it is because of his commitment to incremental change policy and it paying off. He keeps making those metaphors for like football, that politics are like football. You see an opening and you take it, and that is how his presidency has been. And I think that you can't play that game unless you're doing what him and Hillary are playing, where,
which
like,
is why it's so important that she wins,
going for it.
Which is so much of what he's done needs oh, yeah. another four
and
years,
and that's why we yes. voted for Hillary. Not that I don't agree with a lot of things that Bernie espouses, and I'm a democratic socialist in a lot of ways, but we know that as long as people are still voting for people like Ted Cruz, and that the Senate consists of people like that, we're not going to get what Bernie wants. And so for me, it makes more sense to sort of slowly move it down the road.
Do you guys think one of the other person that scared me in Republican debates and stuff was Kasich?
Yeah.
Because I thought if they had nominated Kasich,
they probably would have won.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what's so maddening. And it's a weird thing because it makes, I feel like a lot of liberal people would be like, you know, Kasich is actually like a pretty like rational, normal guy. Why wouldn't they go for him? But you're like, oh no, he's not. He is very,
anti-union,
very conservative, very far right.
Wait, Chris.
Like,
he said if he got invited to a gay wedding, he would probably go.
He would probably go.
And that is gorgeous. But like, you know what I mean? Like, but it's like we're so used to having Trump that anything slightly more reasonable than Trump seems like moderate, but you're like, someone like Kasich is not moderate,
right?
We're in such a crazy backward.
I know,
world.
I find myself like begging for Mitt Romney to come back. I'm like, oh, Mitt Romney, remember those days?
I think Kasich and Romney are about the same, but they're still far right Republicans, and the ball's just been moved so far to the right.
So I don't want to have this whole conversation be dominated by Trump, because guess what, guys? There's a woman in the fucking race, and I'm a woman. So, Donald Trump has had all of these, you know, crazy things, but he's been able to reset his campaign multiple times. But Hillary is not able to reset after the emails that keep following her. So do you think that's sexist? Why is it that this man can literally 1 week say a Gold Star mother should have spoken up? You know, maybe she wasn't allowed to because she's a Muslim. And yet we keep bringing up her emails. And we keep saying that she's untrustworthy.
I mean, part of it might be that she doesn't give them new, fresh meat to eat. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have a new controversy every day. So people are like, let's just go back to the same thing.
And
like,
she does give them fresh meat on the email scandal by, like, saying the wrong thing and saying short circuit.
Always saying a weird, like, slightly dodgy.
Did I wipe the server with a cloth? Like, she says dumb things.
She is very frustrating when it
comes
to things.
She's bad at running for president.
Yes.
Also, I always feel like the email thing is kind of a symbol to them of that's just the most mainstream crime.
Yeah, exactly.
They can accuse her with.
Yeah.
Really, like when they're talking about like the 50 Clinton murders. They're talking about like, you know, like some guy who wrote a bunch of like Clinton expose books, like crazy ones, just committed suicide, and they're all like pinning it on. You know,
I didn't know they killed somebody else.
They killed somebody else very recently. So close.
I've
to the
seen
truth.
Several of the murders. I've seen them.
You've seen
all.
Every Democrat has seen them. We look a blind eye. She's gonna be
I felt
a woman
bad
president.
Chelsea started murdering people too.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of those too.
Yeah, I think it's completely ridiculous. This is all they have on her. All they have on her is the word Benghazi and the word.
But
email.
She's not trusted, and that's what's frustrating. Is like there's this clip going around the internet that's just like 30 years of her. Responding to reporters being like, but people don't trust you.
I think this is like sort of like a weird thing to say, but I think it's time that we maybe realize and accept that a large portion of the Republican Party might be sexist. Like, I know that's crazy to say.
Well, just like they were racists towards Obama.
I would never say something like that.
But
it's mainstream because it's funny. Like, I am a feminist. I've been a feminist my whole life because I'm a woman, but I don't think about the fact that they just keep repeating the same thing, that people don't trust you, people don't trust you, people don't trust you. And it's like, at what point are you creating that narrative by repeating that comment?
One thing that was interesting about the video you were talking about, just a montage of reporters over the last 30 years being very hostile towards Hillary and sexist towards Hillary, is that a lot of the questioners were female. Well, it was Katie Couric was like 50% of the video.
Well, that's the thing too, is like a lot of the questions like don't seem like outwardly hostile. It's just like this implicit sexism where it's just like, it's the 90s.
What do you have to say to people that think that they're not ready for a strong first lady?
And she's not thinking she's being hostile. Mm-hmm. And it probably didn't even like read as sexist at the time. It's just like, it was like new and kind of strange and an outlier to have like a first, you know,
lady
like
with an opinion,
want to like do something.
And I don't know what part of like all of our brain, I mean, I don't, but like my brain too, like you can get swept up in those waves.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like it was like when the RNC was happening and it seemed like, oh, Trump can't even come back from this. But like, they just kept saying Hillary for prison so many times. And some part of your brain does inch you a little bit towards, well, maybe Hillary.
You were thinking about locking her up.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't thinking about locking her up, but I was thinking about saying things like, look, both choices are bad.
Right.
You know, but like,
and if they get you to say that's when.
Right.
But I also do think when you've had a career as long as hers and you've like been the first lady of Arkansas and then you've been the first lady of the United States and then you've had to go and you've had to like run for Senate in New York and now you've got to run for president against Obama and then against Trump, you have to constantly like slightly negotiate and like pivot and change and like not like flip flop 100%, but you have to change your messaging. And that's what being a politician.
But the biggest thing they have on her is that maybe there was like an email that has C next to it. She like, you know,
I guess what I'm not talking about is untrustworthiness in what I was saying, but more of just like the thing that people think that she is like malleable or doesn't have like concrete beliefs and that she's willing to change her opinion. Which
and actually which every is politician like, is like that. Kerry had that problem too, because he'd been in the Senate for so long that they were able to be like, well, you said this thing about gay marriage and then you said this thing about gay marriage. It's like, well, yeah, but everyone did. We all lied about gay marriage.
I'd rather be able to track somebody's progress over time than like Donald Trump, who's like done literally nothing.
Well, he's actually mentally insane. So the fact that we're ever having a conversation about her being trustworthy because she lied about her server email based on a person that literally just says, oh, I saw some Muslims cheering after 9/11. There's a video for it. Look at it. And it's like, well, actually, no, we have the internet that exists and there's no video.
That's the thing is, I think if she was running against like Kasich or just anybody who is a more like quote unquote normal Republican, a lot of these like complaints about Hillary, I mean, they're still valid, but they would be more, I don't know. I'd be more willing to listen to them, but it's versus Trump. So it's like, what are we even talking about?
That scares me for 2020.
I know.
I mean, not to give it to Hillary because we all need to register to vote and go vote, please.
Please.
But that does scare me. Like, I mean, they're going to attack her and they're going to be as obstructionist or more as they were towards Obama for the next 4 years. And then they're going to have some suit run in 2020 that's not Trump.
But you're discounting the fact that she might have 4 successful years.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I feel like there's
How can you have successful years?
Going to see anything. Like, if they didn't see the last 4 years of Obama as successful, I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
but he won.
The
economy was good.
He did, because he brought the economy back. So they think, they think they've been under the rule of Satan for the last 8 years. Like,
because he's black.
Yes.
So if worse comes to worse, she'll use those 4 years and she'll nominate a bunch of Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing she's going to get done.
12 consecutive years and all the old Democratic Supreme Court justices are going to peace out.
The people in Ohio, back to that very original question, actually, this whole time I've been thinking about this one guy who drove an Uber when you asked me of like somebody who was like, oh, somebody who I did understand and relate to. Like when I talked to the people in Ohio who were like just like kind of the regular people around about stuff, they were all, it was very interesting because for one, they all love Kasich in Ohio. It's true. They really love Kasich. And it, you could tell that they were all disturbed by the fact that he hadn't, one, that he hadn't endorsed Trump, but two, that he hadn't welcomed people to Cleveland. They were all like, he could have at least welcomed everybody here. Like they were,
Kasich
could have welcomed people to Cleveland. They were all very disturbed that Kasich didn't at least do that.
How would he do that? I understand. Like,
just
show
like
up?
Held a press conference and been like, welcome to Cleveland. Just some way.
Because he didn't even show up.
He didn't do anything. So they were disturbed by that. But what was interesting is they were kind of using that as almost justification to do what they really wanted to do, which was figure out how they can come to terms with endorsing Trump themselves, knowing that Kasich, who they put their like political identity behind so strongly, wasn't endorsing Trump. How do they day, like, endorse Trump themselves. And they were finding anything negative they could about Kasich to discredit him in their minds. So they
turning on Trump.
That's sort of what it, like, felt like. They wanted, well, maybe Kasich isn't that great of a guy because he didn't welcome everyone to Cleveland. So maybe it's okay for me to endorse Trump. Like, any small thing that, like, you know, reinforces the belief that you want to have because everyone around you has it or because of the team you're on, you'll latch on to.
I know that's tough. I keep trying to think of what the perfect liberal equivalent of Trump would be, like, if there was, like, an absolute insane...
On this podcast, we've talked about Kanye West.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who else have we talked about? I think there's another analogy.
Because I was thinking if there was, like, an insane lunatic who was, like, on our side, who was unqualified...
But we were like, yeah, but he's hilarious. And he's saying all the right
and was
things.
Running against, like, a Paul Ryan who is, like I disagree with, climate. But it's clear... but, like, you know, if he was running against a Republican who was clearly qualified, but just I didn't believe in the same things, would I abandon party?
And Paul Ryan I would abandon. Mike Pence, I don't know.
But it's tricky because, you know, like, a Kanye West is, like, probably would be a crazy person to run for president. Probably, I say, because you never know. I could support him.
After this
But still, we know that he's, like,
gonna nominate Democratic.
Yeah, and doesn't think. Yeah, I guess, and doesn't think gay people should have conversion therapy and, like, things like that. You know, it's tricky. You know,
but so that's where the cab driver, who was a super nice guy, we had a great conversation. The Uber driver, that he was like, but the fact is, Trump, the Hillary's going to nominate the Supreme Court justices, because then you get into those deep things of, like, abortion and, like, the things where, like, we.
And it's hard to. I want to say that you said, this is, like, 5 minutes ago, but you said. Everybody loves Kasich, and I said yes, and I want to tell you that I actually don't agree with that. I'm from Ohio, and I said that, and I was like, oh, should I want to
endorse him?
No. In Columbus, it's very split. Like, he's a very divisive person. But my mother...
Like him, right? Or Republicans don't?
Democrats, for the most part. He's very anti-union. And so teachers don't like him. It's a whole thing. But my mom... I mentioned this on the podcast before. My mom works at the polls. Not as a stripper, but as a she works in the campaign
election monitor.
But she said that a lot of people were coming and changing their registration to vote for Kasich in the primary.
Really?
Yeah.
From Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to ask you, Matt, about your encounter with Alex Jones at the airport.
Oh, sure. Oh.
Wait, who's Alex Jones? I don't know who that is.
Alex Jones. If there was someone who was crazier in the come up than Donald Trump, it would be Alex Jones.
Infowars.com. Like, the conspiracy theorist.
Like, speaks like he's constantly on the radio. Yeah. And he is constantly. Demagogue. Yeah, he is. And he, he just quintessential, like, the ultimate guy who's piecing all the, like, 9/11 is an inside job, like, piecing everything together.
Infowars.com.
Yeah, if you want the truth, you got to go to Infowars.
Sounds like a voice I want to hear a lot.
You really should.
Have him over for dinner.
So if you watch his stuff, what's so funny is I've seen so many clips where he's on an iPhone video, like, hey, folks, I was just thinking about this thing, and suddenly all the pieces started coming together, and you see him walking through an office building, and then you watch, he's in his own office. I was just putting it all together in here. I'm about to go on air, and he comes on to, like, the sound stage where someone who clearly is in his employ is on air, on stage, behind a desk, and he just sits down next to him, like, keep going, but I'm about to jump in here in a second. He just, like, runs ramshackle over his own operation for his own sake to do it, and he just directs everyone, and everyone, like, cows to him. So Alex Jones was at the RNC, and that was interesting too, because the alt-right or whatever, all those guys had their own little things going. That guy Milo.
I've seen so many comedy videos there, like Eric Andre showed up. Heidecker showed up.
Yeah, yeah, because that was where they could get, because all that stuff was happening
Tim
outside.
Heidecker.
Yeah, Tim, yeah, because that was where all the crazy shit was happening outside the convention, and so anybody could jump up on that. And it was great that Eric Andre.
It's much easier to crash the unofficial right.
But so, and Alex Jones is like the ringleader of all that stuff. I was in the airport leaving Cleveland, and I saw Alex Jones in my terminal while I was waiting for the plane, and I was like, oh wow, Alex Jones. And a couple people were, like, taking photos with him, and he was kind of, like, wandering around, and he had like a pretty serious limp. Was sort of like a sad thing about him. He was, like, kind of moving slowly, he was kind of limping. And I was like, oh, you know, he's just like a human guy. I wonder what's going on. And then I saw him. He took out his phone and then he put on some recording device, and he just started in the middle of, not like by the seats or like by the terminals, like in the main walkway where people are going with their roller bags, just started ranting into the phone. Just like a classic crazy person. Just a classic crazy person ranting into the phone. And what was amazing was slowly, as he was doing that, his limp got better and better until he was walking almost completely normally he ramped up into his rant.
Does he have a fake limp, or do his beliefs heal his limp?
Yeah. I think it's that. I think
only, like, going live.
Is he able to heal his body and be a whole person again.
Wow.
And then he ranted and ranted, and it was so funny to me. And nobody else was really paying attention.
Because they thought he was the crazy guy on the subway. Yeah, they're like,
yes. And so, and I sort of followed. I got like a shot. I wanted to just get like one photo. I posted on Facebook because I was like, this is just insane. This is so funny. And then he eventually, when he was done, he put it down. And then like a nice looking blonde woman came up to him and just started like stroking him and stroking his head and being sort of like calming to him and telling him that it's time to board.
Was that his wife?
I guess, or his girlfriend or something.
Oh my god, guys. I need to know more about this situation.
That was kind of what I saw. I mean, it was just like
so
crazy.
Every insane person I see on the subway that I like exit the car and go into another subway car, like he might be a famous
But maybe every crazy person on the subway could be cured if a nice looking blonde woman would just pet them.
That's what's happening with Donald Trump. I mean, if his current wife was blonde, maybe he would have a little bit
better. One other person I want to ask you about, Matt, real quick, and I also saw this in your Facebook, is that you took a picture of G.E. Smith.
Oh, boy.
We should ask Chris about this.
You never worked with G.E. Smith, but, you know, you guys work in the same building.
But, Chris, you were a writer on SNL in 1987,
yes,
right?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Yeah. That's my first season. Yeah.
G.E. Smith is a conservative, and he was in the House band.
I think he played
the Democrats didn't have a band, I don't think. I think they just played, like, pre-taped Coldplay.
They had Katy Perry.
It wasn't the rock and roll convention. You have to remember that. The Republican convention was the rock and roll.
Oh, I remember
convention.
The logo with the elephant
logo was
on the guitar.
Yeah. They were trying to make everything as rock and roll as they could.
We're the rock and roll convention, but we can't get any rock and roll.
They had this guy. Oh, man.
It sounded like the worst way.
Chris Jansen? Is that
Chris
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. So they had him playing, and when I went on.
Wait.
No, that's a girl.
I'm sorry. I was thought you were talking about MSNBC's Chris Jansen.
Oh, fuck. Who am I thinking of? It's a guy. His name's.
I know
like
no
that.
Musicians. I know all commentators.
I didn't know who this guy was either, but he was playing in the band, I think maybe only the last day, because I was hanging on the floor, and he was like sound checking, and everyone was going wild, and he just kept talking about how, all right, here's one of my songs that I bet you didn't know that I wrote. This is a big hit, but actually I wrote it. He made clear, like, I guess he sells his songs to like Toby Keith and things like that, but he played all of his hits that nobody knew were his hits.
He was legally allowed to perform?
I guess so, at the RNC, and he was also just making a big stink about how, I bet you guys didn't know that I wrote this song.
Oh,
but you know it. And then he would play, and G.E. Smith was backing him up.
Did G.E. play the SNL theme at any point?
I didn't hear it.
Probably get fired. Or cease and not fired.
Do you have a job? I don't know. Actually, I'm curious. Does the band talk about G.E. Smith or anything like that?
I have not had a conversation about G.E. Smith. I'm sorry.
Did he date Gilda Radner? Did I just make that
he
up?
He did. No, he did. Yeah. He dated Gilda Radner. And then she broke up with him.
And she was a big Republican.
Or she got him a job.
You guys know way more about this than I do.
Guys, we've played the SNL trivia game.
That's a hard game.
It is so hard. You know what is really funny?
It's really hard.
So we've played that SNL Trivial Pursuit with comedy writers, and we all do terribly. Mm. It's so funny. Anyway, I have the toppers from the game, and I put them on cupcakes for people's birthdays.
No, that's good.
Next time you come over, I'll put the one of them in your... Anyway.
So Trump had a big reset moment today. So Trump, by the way, is allowed to say horrible, terrible things, and then the media will give him a pass if he gives a teleprompter speech.
Literally, if he just talks about anything that is not making fun of somebody. Yeah. They're like, he said policy.
So today was one of his reset attempts. I think he was heckled like 12 times during it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it was bad security. But he laid out his economic plan. One thing that he was criticized for is that his economic advisors that he rattled off, it's 12 dudes. Hillary actually had a pretty funny line. I don't know if you guys saw her speech today, but she's like, she was talking about, he's got these new economic advisors. It's 12 men. 6 of them are named Steve. Apparently it's true that six of his 12 advisors are named Steve, but just the way Hillary said it, like six of them are named Steve, which is funny.
She also said something like, if you need women's names, I know someone who has a binder full of women, though I don't think he'll support you much.
Call back like to Romney.
True callback. Also, I love that Hillary Hillary Clinton's like saucy Twitter feed, because you know she has no idea that it exists.
Sure.
And like every tweet that she writes that is so like empowering, all my friends are like, yeah, go girl. I'm like,
you don't think Hillary's behind it at all?
Does not know these tweets exist.
You don't think she's sitting in the airport like that photo of her on her like BlackBerry with like sunglasses?
Hillary is vaguely aware there's a Twitter presence. She's never seen a single one of her tweets. Like that tweet that was like, Donald Trump wrote something and she wrote like delete your account or something, and everyone was like, yas queen. I'm like, Hillary does not know she said that. And I'm like, I love Hillary, but like, let's chill out for a second.
Everything that she says, it says HRC after it, right?
Yeah, but I mean, that even stuff that is, she didn't write.
But even that stuff is very, it's like someone was like, someone was like, you need to make a 12, you need to say something in a few characters about the economic, you know, crisis or whatever.
Well, the other side of the coin is that Trump, this week, somebody did an analysis. You can tell that if it's like Twitter for Android, it's Trump himself, and it's Twitter for iPhone, it's his staff.
That is
and all the crazy shit is the Android.
That's such a I love shit like that. I truly love that.
Because it's insane to think, like, can you imagine Hillary just waking up at 4 a.m. or not sleeping, because apparently Donald Trump doesn't sleep, but just tweeting like what comes off the top of her head? I mean, that's what Donald Trump does.
It's great. There's almost like there's no way to even like talk about it anymore, because it's so bizarre. It's like anything, any one thing he does or says, if she did it, it would be the end.
We all know that person.
Is that a Democrat Republican double standard, or is it
a
sexist double standard?
It's like literally everything. I think it's everything. Yeah. It's every type of double standard. It's the same thing that we're guilty of, which is like there is truly nothing Hillary could do that would make us vote for Trump instead, for the four of us. And there's nothing so many.
I don't think that's true.
What could she do?
She
could rip off her face and be Donald Trump in disguise.
Vote for Trump instead, or not vote for
Vote for Trump instead.
No, nothing.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like a tricky, and we feel okay with that because we're like, we're right. But like, that's what so many Trump supporters think, and it's a weird thing where it's like we're all just like screaming at each other, and there's like nothing we can do. And
what if Hillary shot someone on Fifth Avenue? Would you vote for Trump?
Well, she wouldn't. Would she still be running for president?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I still want
to
vote for Trump.
Yeah, she would. Oh, yeah. Definitely. I would never vote for Donald Trump ever.
I said 10 minutes ago. I've already seen her murder people, so this would be nothing.
It's not a big deal.
So this is a little off topic, but not really. Donald Trump is apparently obsessed with fast food. Did you guys know this?
Just from like photos, right?
No, the New York Times reported, they did this like kind of, I love the New York Times. They're doing a little bit of a snarky piece. Not snarky, but just about how he'd be the first fast food president. And how
Bill Clinton was the first president.
He was, but now he's a vegan. So like there's been this trend. It's
he looks
true.
Terrible. He should start eating vegan.
Yeah.
Jesus. He had a heart attack.
Just that old.
That's just called being old.
So anyway, he, you know, George Bush was a very fit president, ran a lot. Obama, like his wife makes jokes about him eating 7 almonds a night. Being very regimented. Donald Trump is obsessed with McDonald's, like on the campaign trail, just eats fast food nonstop. Actually, legitimately eats fast food and
Taco
enjoys
bowls
it.
From
how
Tower.
Can you do that when you're 70?
He doesn't drink.
That's such a weird distinction.
I make fun of people.
Wait
and
a minute, drinking's
drink
okay, right?
No, drinking is really bad for you. No, I have to eat well because I like to drink alcohol, so, you know.
Isn't that so disturbing? But, like, isn't that weird that Donald Trump doesn't drink? But he like
I
still like
weird.
Goes out and parties with all the people that he does.
I know.
Like,
when did he stop?
And no, he's never drank. I think he
Which
was a never drinker.
Which means that when he like raped that 13-year-old,
he was
stoned. So
why are more people talking
his
about that?
Fast food.
Yeah,
you think that's a real story?
I don't know if you. I'd go as far as to say I don't know if he did it himself, but I'm sure he was around it when that other guy did.
And if
what's that, Epstein?
I think the thing that I'll say is that if Hillary was like maybe possibly in the room when a 13-year-old was raped, we'd be hearing about it a little bit more than we're hearing about.
Also, this is a scandal in the way that like women are not believed. We're like, oh, we can't really trust if a woman says she was raped or not, so it's not really a story. And that is a disgusting.
There's a few things like that that I don't know if they're not why they're not being pursued by the Democrats. Even the like sort of part when they like have somebody who somebody like leaked to somebody, like if they're saving those things, like finally pulling the 13-year-old.
Are you thinking October the 13-year-old's going to do her 60 Minutes interview?
There's that, but then there's also Manafort. like Manafort, his like campaign director, like there's all sorts of shit about that guy being like a truly evil man.
Yeah. Isco, he works for like Eastern European like dictators.
Yeah, well, so Isco, who's a writer who works at the Onion, who we know, he knows some guy. Now I hope I'm not outing some guy, but he knows a guy, but who is in like intelligence some way. But he was saying that like, oh yeah, there's all this stuff, and there's press on it, but it's all in like India, about how Manafort, through a bunch of ways, basically was able to get the U.S. to fund some organization that was actually secretly funding the Taliban.
Oh, my God.
Just straight up Manafort. I mean, if you were to believe
he's like a dog whisperer for the Taliban. For dictators.
Yeah, yeah. And through that has funded terrorism himself. Like there's shit like that, and that's like there are like but international that's why they demoted reports about him, it, but we're not.
Right?
Did they demote Manafort? Is that true?
No, but he's like the unofficial. Yes. But I think they did it in a way that they could.
I also think part of it is like stuff like that, which is like juicy and interesting, and like 100% very well maybe true. I think part of what I would at least hope the Democrats would focus on is something that is like clearly very simple and straightforward, which is like release your tax returns.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which is like,
why aren't they
like,
saying that?
Because
every
all
day
of that, what Matt is saying, could be true and like should be known if it's true and is horrible, but like both sides have versions of that, which are like could be true and are preposterous.
Complicated,
like, could be true,
and
could
like
be
complicated.
True. But it's like there's nothing preposterous about like your tax returns.
Yeah, here's
like,
the
you know
thing,
like,
but
if you're running as a president and you're only a businessman, that is the only way for anybody to know if you
are a good
business
man.
Yeah. That's the only thing we can look at to be like, okay, you've done a good job, you should be president. So it's like insane that that is not.
Here's the thing that drives me crazy along these lines is that Trump, like Hillary's crooked Hillary's like so-called like problems are it's very complicated. Like the email server thing is
it's
very
not
complicated.
She killed Vince Foster, Charlie.
Yeah.
But
his body is buried underneath the White House.
But not only are Hillary's like supposed transgressions complicated, she's apologized, she said she had poor judgment, she shouldn't have done it this way, she regrets it, blah blah blah. But it's really complicated to tell the story of what she did. But Donald Trump tells like the simplest, easiest, most refutable lies possible,
yeah,
and kind of doesn't get a pass on them, but like they're gone after a day. Like Hillary's like vague email scandal, we're entering year two at least on that.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, last week Donald was like, we need to change the debates because there's an NFL game during two of the debates. And I got a letter from the NFL saying to change the debates. And the NFL is like, no, we did not send Donald Trump a letter. So then, like, okay.
It's a physical lie.
Therefore, you lied about something that was so easily refuted by a journalist, and there are not many left, calling the NFL and saying, did you send him a letter? No, we didn't. Okay. You just lied about something so blatant, so easily refuted.
And insignificant.
And so insignificant. Yeah. And it's like that, to me, like, even if Hillary, like, was super shady with their email server and like maybe kind of put something our national security at risk, at least it's like, well, it's like two paragraphs that explain why it was like not the best judgment. But just this guy that just a matter of fact on something insignificant just like spouts out, like no one asked him to talk about the NFL and the debates or whatever. So like, yeah, I got a letter. And you just go back and you look at everything he's ever said. By the way, he gets a lot of letters and a lot of phone calls, which are less proven
and
than
that thing
emails.
Of like, you know, I hear people are saying, and it's like there's never, no
he
one ever is like, what are the names of people?
People.
Yeah,
people are saying things, people are sending him lots of letters, and people are sending making lots of phone
part
calls.
Part of it's like it's impossible to keep up with what he's saying because it's like one lie, and then he says another one, so everyone's
also
covering that. Because things like,
why
I think,
lie?
I
why
just,
lie about that
I
stuff?
Know,
we know why
he's
crazy.
Pathological.
We know why Hillary lies.
That's why it was really interesting when he said that he saw the wrong plane earlier this week or whatever. When he corrected himself.
The money plan.
Yeah. He was like, oh, I was watching a different video. Like,
it's like
one time
you
did correct.
But it's like, I don't believe that Hillary is fundamentally dishonest. I don't believe that she's a villain.
She's
but
a politician.
Even if I did, even if I want to meet these people in the middle and like agree that she is like ruthless and has done all these horrible things, it's like Donald Trump. He's like, you can't even compare. It's like apples and oranges. There's no comparison. He is like, I would go outside and pick anyone that I saw as president before him.
Like, yeah, who but it's like, worse? Even if Hillary is this, like, Lady Macbeth who wants power and who's pursued power, yeah,
because any woman that wants power is clearly an Lady evil Macbeth. Fucking yeah. bitch that murdered yeah, yeah, everybody. Yeah, yeah.
But even if she is, it's like, well, what, to what end? To give children health care?
That's the thing, too, like, is it's like, take away the candidate. She's, like, for all these things I'm for, and he exactly. doesn't say I'm a anything. Little,
Charlie and I were actually saying, like, and I'm asking this as a true question, I'm a little confused with the Clinton Initiative controversies are.
The Clinton Global Initiative.
Clinton Global yeah. Initiative that they've been getting, that they got all this money from people, mm-hmm. right? But in order to, what, like, give people water? I'm confused.
I don't know
like,
about it.
Like, okay, they did get money from foreign governments or oil companies to give people water. Like, honestly, I don't.
Like, the whole point of the initiative is to help, you know, less fortunate people, right? It's to, like, malaria nets in Africa.
Pad whatever. Their pockets with money and cash from all these different things. Like, I don't, like, what, like, our relationship with money is something that we need to, like, fundamentally, like, agree on as, like, a baseline standard, because there's, like, so much thing. Do we think it's good to make money? Do we think it's bad to make money? Do we think that, like, getting money from one person is good or bad? But, like, fundamentally, money is such a complicated and, like, fraught thing.
Well, I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump because he's a billionaire. But right. I don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton because she was paid $200,000 for a speech at Goldman Sachs.
Like, exactly. Like, well, we can't decide what job. Money means.
I would speak to anyone for $100.
Well, no, seriously. So we've talked about this all the time. And actually, Barney Frank was on Meet the Press or something.
Bill Maher, maybe.
Bill yeah. Maher recently. And I wish that he had come out and said this more, or I'd heard people cover it more. He was like, I fucking speak.
Everybody does.
To Goldman Sachs. He's. I wrote
the
Dodd
author
Frank.
Of Dodd-Frank. Yeah.
The author of Dodd-Frank. I want to regulate them because they bring people in. And you know, Charlie gives talks. Like, people just hire people to come in and talk yeah. about shit. And I don't think people that aren't involved in that world of speech making to corporations understand that everyone just does it.
And I just, like, if anyone's interested, super easy way to make money that you don't have to think about that much.
I just have zero problem with Hillary getting a bunch of money from Goldman Sachs
totally,
to give a talk.
Because it's not like the speeches. I don't think the speeches in secret are like, okay, guys, here's how we make the banks even stronger. Don't tell anyone.
yeah.
even though every vote I took in the Senate yeah. and every policy I put forth running for president twice is against yeah. you guys. Here's what I'm secretly telling you behind closed doors.
A very long list of all her speeches. That's a small percentage of the speech. And most of them are to, like, the global fishing organization.
Yeah, exactly.
All, like, really just, like, boring, unsexy
she's
places.
Who want to have a sexy speaker.
Who everybody,
she's
like...
She's a former first lady. She's a former senator. She's a former secretary of state. You
yeah,
gotta fucking pay big
want.
Bucks to get her ass to talk
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
No matter who
I'm
you
sure
are.
The banks have to pay the most.
Yeah, because yeah. they got it.
Well, oh, God. So this is... I want to wrap up with just one comment. I want to get everyone's ideas. Trump is already laying the groundwork that this election is rigged.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I think, brilliant. I think he's like, my guess is that he doesn't actually want to be president, but he wants everyone to think that it was stolen
yeah,
from
yeah.
him.
He
like, that is his dream, is that
that's
he's
great.
Gotten to these heights and he doesn't have to do the work and can just be
that's
like,
great.
Fuck you, something happened.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Am I right?
I just think it's bizarre to hear Republicans talk about an election being rigged, because I don't think it will be rigged, but it's also like there are so many like voting and election issues like gerrymandering and stuff that specifically like disenfranchise like mostly Democratic leaning voters.
A lot of
it's
which,
like,
a lot of the voter ID shot,
exactly.
ID stuff got shot down.
Yeah, exactly.
Too,
but it's
yeah.
a weird thing to, for of all people to talk about vote rigging or like
yeah.
election problems for Republicans
yeah,
to be saying that.
How
like,
is it rigged?
If anything, it's like really hurting the Democrats or I don't know.
And if they were it. Going to rig it, wouldn't they have figured out a way to not get him to be the GOP nominee? Like, don't they really, wouldn't they have really just worked really hard to not get him this far?
One last topic for you guys as head writer of Onion Video and a Saturday Night Live writer who writes so much
yeah.
of the political stuff there. Do you guys think you make a dent? Do you think there's so much political comedy right now? John Oliver, Sam B, Daily Show, Colbert,
mm-hmm.
SNL, Onion, Funny or Die. Do you think, like, is it just people like us? Like, Cody and I watch literally all of it. But is it just us that's watching it? Or do you think you've changed hearts and minds with your content? It's a big question.
I can't speak to myself currently because that feels pretentious, and also I'm in it, so I don't know,
right?
And I don't want to presume.
You reach the biggest mainstream audience of all, probably.
I don't want to presume to think that what we're currently doing, like a sketch I wrote, whatever, is like moving the needle at all. But I will say I have read things and heard things about previous elections and SNL about like
Tina Fey, Sarah
Tina Fey and SNL that really helped like use her words against her and skewer her in a way that like I think hurt her. They also say the same things about Will Ferrell playing George W. Bush, mm-hmm. where it's like he really sort of ingratiated himself, like people like George W. Bush more because he was folksy and funny and he was a little dumb, but he was likable, and that kind of helped him.
That like Adam McKay harbors a big guilt for like that. Yeah.
And so I don't really know, you know, I feel like we'd have to like look back on it and see if like Kate's portrayal of Hillary helps, hurts, or does nothing, or people's portrayal of Trump. I don't know.
I think Kate would help articulating
the ideas like clearly like helps is always like a good idea. Uh-huh. And comedy has a way of like articulating certain ideas the clearest. And because people really like to trust comedians, like that's like the main thing. Like you get the sense that like comedians tell the truth because that's, I don't know, that's what's funny. It's when I'm laughing. And so right. I think that as long as good comedy exists, I do think that's a good thing. That's as far as I would go, that it's important to do good work.
Yeah.
And I think that the work that Chris does is extremely good.
Oh my God.
We can end right now. I promised earlier that I would say very nice things about Chris and I hadn't done it yet. No, the work that Chris does is
he already hired you and gave you that job at the Onion years ago.
I think that as long as people are doing good work, it's good. But I think doing good comedy, like, you know, contributes to just like good reporting does, doing good things that articulate why we think the world should be the way we think the world should be, and making that argument, however you're making that argument, I think that has an impact.
I will close this out and say that I think you're both doing great work. No, honestly, I think that most people our age and younger don't get their news from the news. They get their news from comedy shows, and they get their news from videos that float around the internet. And so I think that you are both shaping how people see the election. And
one positive thing on that, and this is a little bit of a tangent, but Hank Green, who's from the Vlog Brothers, is a very influential YouTuber. He just put out a thing today, which is a custom video for all 50 states, how to vote. How to vote in New York, how to vote in South Carolina, how to vote in Iowa. Wow. And he has... Their channel has like 3 million subscribers. His brother John Green, who wrote The Fault in Our Stars, is his, they work in the channel together. But anyway, that was such a clear example to me of like, great, there's nothing partisan about it. It's just like, if you live in New York State, here are the voting rules, here's when you need to register. And now there's a great, concise YouTube video hosted by a YouTube celebrity that explains that in all 50 states. And I mean, honestly, the Democrats want more voting and the Republicans want less. And I think that's the most important thing we can do.
All right. Well, we should end on saying thank you to our guests, Matt and Chris.
Come on August 22nd, Monday. That's right. I said it wrong last podcast.
August 22nd. And also, please like our podcast and subscribe and vote in midterm elections.
All right. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Chris.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.